Listening Library presents Those We Drown by Amy Goldsmith. Read for you by Saskia Malleveld. For NJC. 0. The cruise liner had docked hours ago. Most of its passengers, satiated by the late summer sun, had long since poured onto waiting buses and into taxis. Silence slunk down the now deserted corridors under the impassive gaze of buzzing wall lamps. Blandly uniformed doors yawned into empty rooms, raggedly stripped to their bare bones. The soberly dressed staff methodically swept up crumbs, sprayed down surfaces, and emptied bins of discarded memories. Orphaned suitcases were tossed into dumpsters, the pricier sunglasses, watches, and handbags distributed among the tight-lipped crew. The decks were industriously polished so that not a single stain remained. And beneath sea level, on the shadow-steeped lower decks, prayers were whispered, hushed and fervent. The sea provides. Then the singing started. Deep within the belly of the ship, salt-stained and bristle with barnacles, voices rose, as clear and golden as the dawn. Voices that called to mind the teasing chase of sunlight on turquoise waters, the weightlessness of warm foreign seas, the tropical scent of sunscreen and sea salt carried on a gentle breeze. That familiar call to forget that seeped into sun-warmed skin. It was an old song, ancient in fact. A song passed down through centuries, a song that unsettled the hardiest of sailors, that could lull and lure even the most reluctant traveler. That called insistently to some dark center that agitated the blood. For long moments, the staff stilled, all heads turned in the direction of the sound, bewitched and beguiled by the terrible beauty of the melody. Finally, the singing stopped, and hidden deep within the rusting hull, harrowed and hungry, they waited. 1. The Eos had 6 decks, 2 swimming pools, 5 themed restaurants, 1 with an a la carte menu, whatever that meant, and a fully equipped gym. The jewel of the Atlantic. At that point, I could pretty much have worked as a rep for the damn ship. I'd spent so long obsessively rereading the single sheet of information Seamester had provided, which Dad had wonkily printed at work. I'd folded and unfolded it, tracing the well-worn creases that obscured the ink in places, while barren fields and nameless grey towns flew by the window, constantly checking that it was actually my name there, typed at the top, and not some mistake. From CCs on the email confirming my place, I'd figured out there were 6 of us, including my friend Will and me, embarking on this grand opportunity across the Atlantic. The 7th name listed, the sender, was the group leader of this year's Seamester. Experience education at sea. One Mr. Justin Ashburnham, who, judging by the thumbnail on the Seamester website, was almost as young as us. An entire term at sea, calling at ports I'd only ever dreamed of visiting, all in the name of cultural enrichment. My eyes grew wider every time they scanned the list of destinations. New York, Miami, Buenos Aires, Barcelona. Both Will and I had applied for the opportunity on a whim, after a suggestion from Mr. Simmons, our form tutor. But neither of us had thought any more about it after we'd clicked the submit button. Winning some fancy enrichment trip aboard a cruise ship wasn't supposed to happen to invisible kids like me. So months later, when the email from Seamester pinged into my inbox, I almost deleted it, thinking that sending the application had only led me to being added to yet another mailing list. But as I took in the subject line, my entire body began to shake, my finger still poised over delete. Congratulations, Ms. Olivia Larkin. Your application has been successful. I read the email within a second, gobbling it down greedily with my eyes, then read it again, and then once more, sure I'd missed some small detail that would bar me from the trip. But eventually I allowed it to sink in. It was all there, clearly typed in black and white, size 12, Times New Roman, My application had been successful. I'd won a scholarship aboard a luxury world cruise, all expenses paid. Mum immediately called every living member of family we had in the world, then held an open conference with our neighbours, ardently gabbing on about things she'd never once mentioned to me, my immense literary talent, how she had known, the moment I picked up a crayon at 2 years old, that I was destined for greatness, and so on. And since then, I'd spent every single minute daydreaming, imagining myself as one of those stylish travel influencers who constantly filled my social feeds, my vintage suitcase beautifully packed, ready to vlog my every experience. Picturing myself on the bus down to Southampton, sitting next to some cute Brazilian student who I'd start a passionate, though ultimately doomed, love affair with halfway across the Atlantic. It hadn't quite worked out like that so far. For a start, instead of my sitting with a hot Brazilian, the familiar bulk of Will was wedged beside me on the bus, furiously tapping away at WhatsApp as hip-hop pounded tinnily out of his AirPods. Every now and then he would nudge me to share some ghoulish fact about our trip. Hey, did you know most cruise ships have an actual morgue on board? I rolled my eyes. Why do I get the feeling this trip's going to feel more like 6 years than 6 weeks? I groaned. Dad's car had taken ages to start. Dead battery again. So we'd had a rushed peck on the cheek. Get on the bloody bus, quick, before it goes, Liv! Type of goodbye. During which Mum sniffed away her tears while basically ordering me to have fun. I mean, honestly, the absolute pressure of those words immediately led me to worry about how I'd need to fake it if I wasn't bouncing off the walls with giddiness during our 3 phone calls a day. Will's dad's sleek grey Mercedes drew up alongside moments later to drop him off. Neither Will nor his dad looked particularly happy, and Will leaped out several seconds before the car actually stopped, without a backward glance. I knew things had been difficult for him lately. At least the trip would take his mind off all that for a while. I'd spoken to Mr. Ashburnham, "Hey, call me Justin," on the phone the week before, and he'd casually dropped in how I was the only one on the ship who had won a full scholarship. Reading between the lines, I interpreted this as meaning everyone else in the group was filthy rich. Not pretty damn rich, like Will, whose dad worked as a hedge fund manager, a job I'd been disappointed to hear involved no actual hedges, and who had memorably invited the entire class to a go-kart racing party when Will was 8. But properly minted, private school, 3 skiing holidays and the south of France twice a year rich. This was corroborated by the impossibly grand email addresses CC'd alongside mine. At St. Clarus College and at Our Lady of the Fields. Not exactly a natural extrovert, I found it all a little intimidating. There'd be no hiding in my cabin. The info from Seamester explained that our first week, the duration of our trip to New York, our initial destination, would be spent getting to know the rest of the group. So I'd gotten up an entire hour earlier than I needed to that morning, perfecting the effortless outfit I'd planned for weeks, one I hoped wouldn't immediately mark me scholarship girl. I'd settled on my favorite distressed jeans, paired with a silky camisole, sadly polyester mix, not actual silk, beneath a kimono, Mum's, so technically vintage, and my well-worn Stan Smiths.
Seriously, Liv, check this shit out.
Will reached past me and pointed out the window. My stomach complained noisily as the bus began to slow and pull into Southampton Harbour. I hadn't been able to manage any breakfast, other than the enormous can of energy drink Will had fished out of his backpack, and that was in danger of resurfacing. Steeling myself, I took my first glance at the EOS. It wasn't an exaggeration to say it loomed above us. A daunting, sleek, white monolith, almost too bright to look at in the late September sun.
God, I am so hyped for this trip, Will continued, pushing his unruly dark hair away from his face. Since Dad got with the Banshee, the only place they ever want to go is Puerto Banos. It's proper embarrassing.
The Banshee was Will's dad's new girlfriend. On the few occasions I'd met her, she actually seemed pretty sweet. But I don't think the fact that she was only a couple years older than us exactly helped matters. Whatever I'd been expecting, I still
Sample complete. Ready to continue?